Let's turn to in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, we'll begin with verse 12. And let's allow this morning the resurrection message, not just because I'm preaching it, but because it's been sang and we've worshiped God about it. Let's just let it affect us personally, each of us. Amen. Because he did it all for you individually. Amen. And so, what a wonderful message we have today, that there's hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin with verse 12. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Verse 15. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not rise up, if the dead in fact do not rise. But if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep, died, in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruit of those who have fallen asleep or died. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint your servant to speak the truth. All of us, Lord, to hear the resurrection message, God, that you've given to us in your infallible word. May your name be glorified today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk to you today about the day of all hope. Amen. And so it is a day of hope as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And you say, how can you have hope when somebody's dead? Let me tell you something. Our Savior Christ, yes, he died physically. And he's with the Father now. But he has risen again from the dead. He's exalted to the right hand of the Father. Amen. And he ever lives and will live forever. Praise God. And if we look at the resurrection today, most religions can point you to the place where their founder died. But their religion is dead, with no life and no hope and nothing to live for. For example, Islam teaches a God of no love and no mercy and a salvation by works. But Jesus, who is the truth, teaches the opposite, that God is a God of love, a God of hope, a resurrected Christ, and promises eternal life. Amen. That cannot be earned, but that is given to those who will accept him as Savior. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is essential to the gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no good news. But with the gospel of Christ, there is good news. Amen. That Jesus saves, Jesus lives, Jesus delivers people from the bondage of sin and gives them eternal life instead of eternal separation from God. Amen. And let's look, first of all, specifically at this 19th verse where it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable or to be pitied. And so we don't go on to just talk about the resurrection. We are a product of the resurrection. Brother Darrell here that just spoke to you, he's a product of the resurrection of Christ. Amen. He was raised from spiritual death to spiritual life, to a life that was wasted and no hope. But amen. Thank God, Darrell. Thank you for your testimony. God has hope today. Amen. And everyone that's saved, you have hope because God delivered you. Amen. I heard one time that somebody was singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Some off-the-wall charismatic said that's a negative thing if you save a wretch like me. It's not a negative thing because without God we are a wretch. But with him we're once lost, once was found, but now we're free. Praise the Lord. We're children of God by faith. And we can call ourselves children of God because God is resurrected from spiritual death to spiritual life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, if it's in this life only, then that's just not very good. But it's not just in this life only. I don't know the author of Dennis the Menace, the cartoon that you read in the paper, or used to read. I don't know. Am I old enough where you used to read it? But Dennis the Menace, you know, it's a picture of this one particular time. He's sitting at a Christmas tree, and there's just gifts piled up everywhere. He's opened everything. He has new toys to play with. He has all kinds of stuff to do. And at the end, the caption, he's holding out his hands, and he says, "Is this all?" But when it comes to Jesus, if in this life only, if that's all, that's not enough. But it's not just in this life only. If we have, in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But it's not just this life only. We have eternal life. Because Jesus didn't, it didn't all end at the cross. He came again from the dead. Amen. On the third day. This life offers no hope past the grave, only temporary promises, most of which aren't true. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we're still in our sins. Verse 17 tells us that. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And so the resurrection is powerful. Amen. And eternity hangs upon this day, the resurrection of Christ. Amen. And so if you died still in your sins, you died without Christ and you won't live eternally. You'll be eternally separated from God. But if Christ did not rise from the dead, then people that die perish eternally in their sins, if that's all. Verse 18, then also those who have fallen asleep or died asleep in Christ have perished. My friend, if it all ends in physical death, there's not much hope to testify or to preach about. But it doesn't end there. Amen. I recall years ago a man coming up to the pulpit at a funeral. Man, you say, well, that's kind of dead. Well, yeah. But he walked up the platform, and he could barely make it up the steps, and the pastor helped him get onto the platform. He was a preacher of the gospel. He got to the pulpit. He could hardly move because his body was weak with age. But he began to speak, and he began to talk about Christ and God and the resurrection. It wasn't long till all the audience was filled with the Spirit of God, with the power of God. Amen. And though the body, physical body was close to wearing out, the spirit man within him was not worn out. It was new and fresh. Amen. And so his hope wasn't in this life only. Man, it was in Christ. There's no reason to live if God isn't in charge of eternity. And if it's not eternal, there's no reason for the cross or the suffering of Christ and Christ's death if there's no resurrection. Because you see, it's not complete without a resurrection. And I love the cross and the preaching of the cross and the place where my sins were paid for, your sins were paid for, and that Jesus took it all. Amen. Friend, he did it all there. Amen. For the preaching of the cross is futile to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And so I believe in the preaching of the cross. But if we don't want to stop at the cross, we don't want to leave him on the cross, because 3 days later it would be a completion of that. He would rise again from the dead. And so this life offers no reason to live if God isn't in charge of eternity, but he is in charge of eternity. Amen. In Psalms chapter 49, you can hear the psalmist kind of, as he begins to talk about it, and he didn't have New Testament revelation then, so this is Old Testament. In Psalms 49, he says, those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Not a payment for sin. For their redemption is costly. The redemption of their soul is costly. And it shall cease forever that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. Death. But Jesus fulfilled all of that. Yes, our redemption was costly. It cost the Son of God his own life. His physical life. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Not for his own, for he didn't have any, but ours. Amen. So we know that he suffered on the cross for that. He died, but it didn't stop there. He rose the third day. It's not for this life only. There is a resurrection. There is an eternal life. There is a hope now and forever. Amen. You listen to the evening news or the morning news or whatever news you want to listen to that the world produces, there's not much hope ever guaranteed there. You learned about how bad people did bad things and how that things cannot be fixed this way or that way, and everybody has their own carnal conclusions of how the world ought to work. But the resurrection of Christ is good for this life, and so we can live in hope. Amen. If in this life only we have hope, if all the world has to offer, if that's the definition of hope, it's not a very good hope. But Christ offers eternal hope. Amen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. And so good is this life, in this life, so that we can communicate this hope to others. And Jesus, without question, was God come in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us. But he was Son of Man in the sense that he lived in a physical body. He grew up. He went through adolescence. He went through adulthood. He went through all of these things that people go through as they're maturing. He lived, and he's called in the Bible Son of Man, and it refers to his humanity. He's called Son of God, which refers to his deity, his being God. And he never ceased to be God, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we know that he did a wonderful thing, that he took upon, he left the glories of heaven and came and became us. Such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless. And so we know that he is with us, praise the Lord. So it was a great step that God made to send his Son to this earth, heaven's greatest treasure. And if we look at Jesus' life, there are several I am's in Scripture, in the book of John, that where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. There's seven of them, I believe. And so there was a time when Jesus in his earthly life came to the tomb of a man he loved very much, and that was Lazarus. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, were there. And Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus found out about it 2 days earlier, but by his purpose and will, he let it come to 4 days, because it was believed in Jewish thought that the body could resurrect in 3 days. It's possible the spirit couldn't come back to the body. So Jesus waited till it was 4 days. He comes to the tomb of Lazarus, and here is Lazarus there dead and in his tomb. And Jesus ordered the stone to be rolled away. And they said, Lord, we can't roll the stone away. By now there's a stench because he's been dead 4 days. That's what the Bible says. There's no nice way to say that. And Jesus ordered the stone to be rolled away. But this opened the door to faith showed at this tomb. Amen. And Jesus began to talk to the sisters, and the sister said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, well, he'll rise again in the resurrection. And they said, yes, we know, Lord, in the resurrection, our brother Lazarus will come back. And Jesus made one of his I am statements. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you want resurrection, you're looking at him, what Jesus said. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. That means that he claimed authority over death, over hell, all over the grave, that he was the resurrection. Amen. They were looking at hope. They were looking at love. They were looking at eternal life. They were looking at the power of the resurrection through Christ as they beheld him. Even in his humanity, he could say, I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus ordered the stone to be rolled away, the tomb. And we know that Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And he continued to live in this life until, as the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die. It took Lazarus twice. He died physically once, and then he died physically again later on. But he didn't die spiritually. Praise the Lord. And so, this stone rolled away opened the door to faith. It showed the empty tomb. When we come to Jesus, past Lazarus and to Jesus, it so showed the empty tomb. When they came to see if Jesus was there or not, they found the stone had already been rolled away. And they went in and there was no one there, no body there. And you know, in a spiritual sense, some have never rolled away the stone of unbelief in their life. They still don't believe that Jesus died for their sins. They still don't believe that He rose again from the dead. They still don't believe there's an eternal life awaiting for those who will accept what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. Because, for example, other things begin to be more important than God. And I'll talk to the Christian too. There's times that things in our lives become more important than God. It takes God's place. And whatever takes God's place in your life is idolatry. And, you know, people tell me, well, I can't come on Sunday morning anymore. Well, you know, I can't worship on Sunday morning. We have Sunday night and Wednesday night service, except for today. Amen. So you're supposed to get it on Sunday morning today. But something else that takes God's place, the God of self. Self always wants to do something else. And the carnal man always says, there's something better to do, there's something greater to do. I don't want to go sit in a church for 30 minutes or an hour. Amen. And if he's not a long-winded preacher, he might get out in 30 minutes. But something takes over, the God of sports. You know, when you step into eternity, it won't matter who scored the touchdown, who hit the home run, who made the basketball go. Amen. If you put that in the place of God, that's just stupid. Don't put it in the place of God. Don't put anything in God. He's the one that gives you your next breath. He's the one that makes it possible for you to get up and walk again. Amen. It's God that makes your heart beat the next time. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. We need to put God first in our lives. And if there are things that hinder us, let's roll away the stone of unbelief. Let's roll away the stone of excuses. Let's roll away anything that would get in our way from seeing the risen, exalted Christ today and living for Him. Amen. Let me ask this question. Is your family learning about eternity or just temporary things? Are you planting hope in your children? Are you teaching by your life a committed life to God or a committed life to self? Okay? And my wife talked to my grandson the other day. One, I've got five, and one granddaughter. But Levi is 5 years old. And Norma talked to him on the phone. And this age, Levi said, "Can you Skype so we can? Because I want to show you something." And Norma said, "No grandmother's going to refuse that." And so he showed her and. He showed her that he had built with his Legos three crosses. This is 5 years old. And then he had a tomb over on the side. Somewhere along the line, mom and dad, and I'm not just here to brag on my family, I'm just saying, somewhere along the line, he's been taught that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead. And that becomes a responsibility of the parent. And they live in Arkansas. I can't be there every day to teach them, read Bible stories to them. I read Bible stories to his daddy when he was a kid. Yeah. But are we planting hope in our children or grandchildren or whoever you have come into contact with? Whatever God has given you responsibility over, are you planting hope in them? Are you planting something in them that will fade away and pass away in time and not amount to anything for eternity? There's nothing I can think of that's worse than a person leaving this world without God and not being born again, not being saved, and enter eternity where there's never be one word of hope and love and a compliment of any kind. Amen. There will never be an eternity. Somebody say, can I help you? Can I walk you through this? Can I give you my advice on this? Can I point you to Jesus? Because in hell, there is no God there. Man. And so, is your family learning about eternity or just the temporary? Are we concerned about the temporary? Yes. We want to do good things and we want to live a good life. Amen. But it's given by God. But if in this life only we have hope in Christ, you've lost it. We're all men most miserable or pitiable. Okay? Let's move on. I know you're ready for me to. Without hope, we're without hope if there's no resurrection. I think that's already been made, but the enemy of your soul wants to steal hope from you. To make you believe that heaven, eternal life, fellowship with the Creator is only of your imagination, that it's not real. I'm here to tell you it's real. Not because I said it, because God said it in His Word. Amen. And the lie that has been promoted by the enemy of your soul for so long, many have believed, lived, and died in this lie, and realized too late it was a lie, and that Jesus really is real, and the resurrection is really something God promised. And the Bible says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. Romans 5:5. And I want to call your attention to another passage of Scripture, and that is in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. It won't offend me if you do. I'm glad for you to read God's Word. But we're talking about the resurrection, and we're talking about people that have been saved here in 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 1. And it says there in the Scriptures, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Amen. And so when you're truly saved, born again of God's Spirit, you've been born again into a living hope. Not a dead hope, not a temporary hope, not a kind of hope where you imagine something will happen someday, but a hope that's planted within us. Amen. Through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, because you see, Christ is not a dead Christ. When He rose again from the dead, He didn't rise again as a dead Jesus. He didn't rise again to suffer again. My friend, when He comes back that second time, it's not going to be on a cross. It's not going to be a suffering Savior. He's already done that once. He paid the price for our sins on Calvary once for all. When He comes a second time, the Bible says it'll be like the lightning that comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west. Nobody, everybody will know that Jesus when He comes a second time. Hallelujah. And you and I are a people of hope. Believers are a people of hope because the empty grave is not just a myth. It's a reality, it's a certainty. Amen. Do you have proof? Yes, I do. If you're truly born again of God's Spirit, you're proof. And many people saw Him after His resurrection. As a matter of fact, one time over 500 saw Him. At one time. And the Bible tells us that His resurrection was with many infallible proofs. And if you're saved, you're one infallible proof. Praise God. Now Christ is risen, has risen. He conquered death. The thing that people fear the most is death. People fear entering the unknown to a place where there is no light. Amen. If you go into a dark room, you want to flip the switch, make sure the light come on. Amen. But when it comes to spiritual things, amen, you want to have faith that the light of Christ will come on, the light of eternity. Many a person has sat through a church service, and the light has come on, and they've realized that it shows that they're not ready to meet God. You say, well, I've done a few good things in my life. I've done enough righteous things that I should go to heaven. You've not done enough. The Bible says all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. You read it in Isaiah 64:6. We are all as an unclean thing. That doesn't make you feel very good. Amen. But Christ died and He becomes our righteousness. When by faith we take Him and He clothes us, covers us with His righteousness, and God sees us through the righteousness and the perfection of His Son. Amen. Because you see, eternity will be a place where there is no light, spiritually or naturally. You see, that's what hell will be like. It will be, it's described as a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it'll be people living in turmoil and continual eternal regret that they didn't receive Christ somewhere along the line, that they missed one too many altar calls, that they said no one too many times, they turned away from God. And there's no hope. We find that on the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, he saw the resurrected, the exalted Christ. And John had never seen Jesus in this way. John had seen Jesus heal the sick and raise the dead even. John had seen Jesus in his earthly life heal people that were crippled and couldn't walk and they would walk. He saw people with blind eyes open and they could see. He saw people with deaf ears and they could hear. He saw how that Jesus did many powerful miracles, but John had never seen Jesus like he would see him on the Isle of Patmos. He would see the resurrected and the exalted Christ on the Isle of Patmos. And when John saw him, the Bible says his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And John said, I fell at his feet as dead. Because the glory and the power of that resurrected Christ was just too much for the physical body to handle. Jesus laid his hand upon him and said, get up. And he did. But you see, one day we're going to see this Christ, if you've been born again. And Jesus talked to John on the Patmos, and he said, I am he. He said, fear not. I am he who lives and was dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. You see, Jesus is in charge of life and eternity. When you give your life to him, amen, that opens the door for eternal life for you. Amen. When you get saved, you don't just quit doing a few bad things. You give your life to him. And he becomes Lord of your life. And you every day, you know, part of the Lord's Prayer is, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord Jesus, be King and Lord of my life today. You give your life to Jesus. Lord, help me to live for you today. So fear not, the Lamb of God has risen. Jesus takes the fear out of death. He conquered death, has authority over death, makes it where we can live in faith instead of fear. And I would rather live in faith instead of fear any day. Amen. I live in faith that if this thing ends right now, if all political systems of the world fail, and they all have failed so far, and they will fail, but the work of Christ will not fail. And if all the world, amen, shuts down and nothing goes, and every person on this earth gets COVID-19 and dies, I want to tell you something. Jesus is still alive. It hadn't killed him. Amen. He's not going to get it. He's in charge of life and eternity. You have a wonderful hope, a blessed hope, a glorious hope. Amen. Not in this life only, but in a resurrected Christ who conquered death and is seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. He lives today. Praise the Lord. So Jesus took the fear out of death. He conquered death. Makes it where we can live in faith instead of fear. Our hope, our faith, our present life, and our eternity is not just only for this life. Amen. If only in this life we have hope. We're of all men most to be pitied. But it's not just for this life. Our hope, faith, present life, and eternity is not just for this life. We're not a miserable people. We're not a people on the way to an eternal inheritance that's no good. We're a people that's on the way to streets of gold. A place where there's neither sickness, sorrow, pain, or death. A place where God the Father is there and we shall see Him. Amen. Amen. And I'm anxious to fall at his feet and cry holy. Amen. Somebody told me one time, said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to set God down and tell him a thing or two. Yeah, right. You're going to tell God something? Amen. When we get to heaven, we're going to fall at his feet and cry holy and realize he did everything right. We can't question nothing, don't need to question nothing, because he's perfectly righteous, perfectly just, perfectly holy. And our faith is built, not only did Jesus die for our sins according to the Scriptures, but he conquered death, he rose again from the dead, and he ever lives to make intercession for you, and he's coming back one day, and he says, just be ready when I come. Praise the Lord.